20 years ago, when I went to college, I was already frustrated then. You know, why am I reading from a textbook some guy teaching me sociology? And I have to take this course. Why am I doing this? Why am I not reading historical works from whatever period this is? Fine, you want to teach me sociology? I'd prefer you not do that. Teach me history and politics and so forth. But why don't you give me the primary sources instead of having some guy filter it to me and tell me what I'm supposed to be thinking?
Was this even at your, because you got a master's and a PhD in classics, right?
Yeah. So this is before, this is
undergrad.
Undergrad. At, okay. Yeah. Bethany Lutheran College. Mm-hmm. And I had some great classes there too that actually dealt with primary sources. Like we read Augustine's Confessions. And that's when I took those classes and saw, wow, what if all classes were like this? Right. Mm-hmm. And, but I had to go get a master's degree and a PhD to get classes that were all like this, right? Mm-hmm. Giving me the primary sources. And even then, I didn't get any close to what I should have gotten in an undergrad and what people used to get in high school and undergrad. I mean, we have fallen so far from where we used to be, where 200 years ago, well, 100 years ago, in order to get into Harvard, you would have had to know Latin. I mean, and I mean know Latin. Like, you have to write an essay in Latin, right?
Oh, wow. And this is out of high school.
This is out of high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These were the expectations. And I don't say that, like, I mean, Latin, who cares? Well, how about any language? Mm-hmm. Is that expected from anybody?
Even right? English grammar.
Even English grammar. Yeah, nowadays. Mm-hmm. So to be a high school graduate 100 years ago, 150 years ago, meant something. You knew. You knew your stuff. And you take a look at the textbooks, the two most read textbooks were the Bible and Plutarch's Lives. Now, Plutarch's Lives, how many of the listeners of this podcast do you think?
I haven't read that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I read Plutarch's Lives 2 years ago. So here is classics guy.
So you got a PhD in the classics.
Yeah. And I'd read like portions of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like we had for Caesar's, for a class on Caesar, we had to read Plutarch's Life of Caesar, and we had to read it in Greek and all that. That's great. But never read Plutarch's Lives. Literally, schoolgirls and schoolboys 200 years ago would have been reading that in middle school, you know?
And part of the importance there, too, is just, I mean, that's something that your average high school kid today would pick up, and they wouldn't have a clue how to even deal with it.
No.
Right. And these, and you're saying 100, 150 years ago, intellectually, you know, they were able to read these and wrestle with these kind of concepts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wrestle with these kind of concepts. The beauty of reading someone like Plutarch's Lives is a perfect example of what classical education is meant to be, because it's not simply a history with some guy just regurgitating facts to you, right? Mm-hmm. You should know what happened, how long the War of 1812 lasted. It turns out it lasted beyond 1812. Mm. I think the final battle was in 1815, which was after the treaty was actually made, which is too bad, because 2 million Brits lost their lives in Louisiana. But in any case, you read Plutarch's Lives, and you're going to see him constantly talking about religious influence, his own religious influence. You're going to be talking about, he's going to be talking about the revelation of the gods or of God. He's going to be talking about moral character and how it builds a politician, and how when you fail in moral character, your entire city might fail. He's going to be talking about raw ambition and how it can ruin a man. He's going to talk about how sexual attraction and the influence of a single woman can move history in a certain direction, right? It's not just history. He's teaching you all about the life of a man and therefore of mankind, right? And so you see a commonality in humanity, but then you're also inspired to be as ambitious and virtuous and pious as some of these men and some of these women, right? Mm-hmm. So you lose all of that when you go away from the primary sources, and instead you just get instructed by this ridiculously boring textbook mm-hmm. that tells you how big around the pyramids were, mm-hmm. you know, and that we discovered King Tut's body and such date.
So you're kind of put your finger here on shifts in education, right? So, I mean, it seems like when you're describing, it's Plutarch's Lives, mm-hmm. is that right? You know, when you're describing that as you're going through, you know, what is ambition? What does lust? What does all these things lead you towards, right? These things are formative to the reader as they're reading these things. They're being brought into this story. As you said, it's a story about a man, but it's a story about man, right? All men. And therefore, it's a story that applies to the reader. And therefore, they should be moved to love and appreciate that which they should love and appreciate and mm-hmm. to despise that which they should despise. So it's the whole purpose of that education is to form the student. To whereas mm-hmm. when you're describing how big is the pyramid around, it makes no impact on me, the reader, right? And my eyes should glaze over because it doesn't have any impact on me unless I'm wired in such a way where I love numbers or whatnot. But still, it's not affecting my character. And therefore, it's not affecting how I'm going to be as a father or a husband or a citizen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So this is what always happens when we start talking about classical education is that we're supposed to be just talking about Luther Classical College and its founding. But we get into the content, right? Mm-hmm. And it excites us.
Yeah.
Right. In a way that the simple facts that are supposed to be objective and put into a textbook don't. Mm-hmm. Especially since our modern textbooks everyone has a goal in mind. Like, why would you write a textbook without a goal? Why would you teach a class without a goal? In our modern mind, the goal is to make someone who can make money, right? Mm-hmm. Is to form someone for a career, to fit him into the economic wheel, mm-hmm. to be a clog. It's a great book by Charles Dickens called Hard Times. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've read that. Mm-hmm. Dickens is great, period, just as a man who teaches what character is and virtue, and he's very classically read. But in Hard Times, the teacher is all about facts, 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 mm-hmm. right? So get the facts into these kids so that they can be workers, and they can be, they can be participants in the economy, right?
They help serve the nation to some degree, right? If they're efficient workers, then they help
the nation forward. Yeah. But it's all about giving them facts. And it's not about forming their character. It's not about forming their imagination. It's not about forming them as whole people, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this sort of like monster teacher is. It just teaches facts and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And it shows just the total misery and just how people are lost, right? They're lost. If all of my learning, all of my zeal, you said 40 hours a week. Think about that. 40 hours a week in school. Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. And it's all geared toward one ultimate goal, and that is to make money. Well, then what am I here for? Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with that money?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to teach facts without moral instruction, to teach information without moral development, and also, frankly, God. Right, your creator is silly, mm-hmm. and you will not. This is the beauty about going to the primary sources: Latin, Greek, Roman Greek, and then all the way through the Western tradition. You will not find instruction without mention of God, mm-hmm. and without mention of character, and without mention of morality. I think part of the reason we moved away from the actual sources is because the modern man, right after the Enlightenment, doesn't think you as a human being should be listening to any talk about God, right? Or how church and state may interact, right? So they're going to filter the information to you as an economic man, right? Because mm-hmm. this is all that matters.
Why does that shift take place, do you think?
Why does that shift take place? Well, because the Enlightenment actually did things, right? It changed the mind of man.